Today we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. Our King came, our King comes, and our King will come again. But he does this in different ways. The first coming of Christ was mentioned in our gospel passage today. You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. The Son of God became the Son of Man. This is the first coming. Jesus was conceived, he was born, he lived a humble life, and then he spent 3 years in ministry to the people of God, and after that he went through his passion, death, and resurrection. His first coming was one of humility, taking on our human nature. What is often called the second coming is a little bit different. It happens at the end of time, when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. This coming is mentioned in our first reading. I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. The one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. We also heard about the second coming in our second reading. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him. For the second coming, he's not coming in humility, but rather he's coming in his glory. He is robed in majesty. But what I really want to talk about is what some people call the third coming of Christ. It's how he comes to us even today, comes to us in his fullness, in his humility. And he does this in the Eucharist. But why the Eucharist? I mean, why would Jesus want to make himself fully and truly, completely present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in what appears to be bread and wine? Why would he do that? Well, he did it out of love. When we love someone, we want to remain with that person. We want to stay close to those that we love. Jesus loved his disciples. But he also knew at the Last Supper that he was going to die on the cross. So he created a way that he could remain with them. By instituting the Eucharist, he is fully present not only in his divinity, that is, in as much as he is God, but also in his sacred humanity. That way he can remain with his disciples. So he did this to remain in our presence, so that he can be completely and fully available to his disciples after he ascended into heaven, and even though he is already seated at the right hand of the Father. But there's another reason. In some ways, we can actually say that his presence in the Eucharist is better than when he was walking the face of the earth. And that's because when he was here on earth, he was limited by both space and time. He can only be in a particular place, the Holy Land, Jerusalem, Galilee, for a limited amount of time. But in the Eucharist, Jesus is making himself available for all the generations that came after his ascension, all over the world. Everywhere that he is in the Eucharist, he is present in the tabernacles of many churches, making himself available to all of us. He loved us so much that he wanted us to be able to encounter him fully and completely, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist. Now, if we think about a husband and wife, we also think about the reality that they like to be united to each other. They like to be in contact with each other. Well, the bride of Christ, according to St. Paul, is the church. And Jesus wants to remain with his bride. He wants to be in union with her. And so, his sacred humanity becomes united with us, all those who come to him humbly for Holy Communion, all of us who are faithful members of the church, we become united to him physically, truly, completely, if we allow it, if we're well disposed, if we're worthy of that encounter. But we also call it communion because we're not only being united to Jesus, but through Jesus, we're also being united to all of each other. And so that's another reason he gave us the Eucharist, for the sake of the unity of the believers. The Eucharist has the appearance of bread. Even though it's Jesus, once consecrated, it still looks like bread. And bread has that capability of being physical nourishment for us. But the Eucharist has an even greater capability, an even better property, that of spiritual nourishment. When we receive the Eucharist, we receive an increase in sanctifying grace. And sanctifying grace is a share in the divine life of God. So the life of God is within us from the moment of our baptism, but we have an increase of that every time we come to Holy Communion with humility and worthily. But in addition to sanctifying grace, we also receive an increase in the theological virtue of charity, and that is the love of God and the love of neighbor for the sake of the love of God. And in addition to that, also at baptism, we receive the Holy Trinity dwelling within our souls. And with every Holy Communion, we receive a strengthening or an intensifying of that presence of God within us. And there are many other blessings and graces granted through Holy Communion as well. And so Holy Communion is a way of spiritual nourishment for us. Recall also that the Eucharist is the very act of Christ giving himself up for us on the cross. That sacrifice, that total self-gift of himself, that offering that he makes is made present to us again, mysteriously, sacramentally, here at the altar. Not a different sacrifice 2,000 years ago, but the same sacrifice brought into the present in a mysterious and miraculous way. This reality of this sacrifice of Christ and us being able to be present in that moment allows us to unite ourselves and make an offering of ourselves to God the Father in union with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And this is important because it can strengthen our relationship with our triune God. If you think about relationships in general, every kind of relationship, there's an interaction or an exchange that takes place. Well, in our relationship with God, here at Mass, there's that same concept of exchange. Jesus is giving himself to us in the Most Holy Eucharist, and we are called to give ourselves in return. And since Jesus' sacrifice of himself was a gift of infinite charity, when we unite our gift of ourselves to him, it purifies and perfects our gift so that God the Father would not refuse to receive it. And in that exchange, he showers his blessings down upon us. So, when we have that moment at Mass, where we have that consecration, and the priest is holding up the Eucharist, right after he was consecrated, right after bread becomes Jesus, it's the full Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, even though it still appears to be bread. And the priest holds him up for everyone to look upon and adore our Lord, the King of Kings. And if it wasn't for the consecration of the Eucharist, it wouldn't be Mass. That's what makes Mass what it is. That's what makes it so special, to be united in that moment to that sacrifice of Christ. So again, we might wonder, why the Eucharist? Why would Jesus do that? Well, it's because he loves us. It's because in the Eucharist, he makes himself available to us, present to us. He makes himself perpetually present all over the world to all the believers. It allows us to be united to him in a special way. It grants us spiritual nourishment so that we can continue to grow in holiness. It gives us a means to please God the Father by uniting our offerings to his and receive God the Father's blessings in return. So let us take a moment now to humble ourselves, to encounter our Lord. As we reflect on this humility of Christ, that he would come to us in this third coming, that is the coming in the Most Holy Eucharist.